everybody. Welcome to Ears for You. This podcast is all about the good, the bad, and the ugly concerning the most magical place on earth. We are four concierge travel planners specializing in all Disney destinations with years of experience. I'm Joy.
I'm Jules.
I'm Tree of Life.
Alan could not join us today, but we are very excited to welcome back guest agent and friend Roxanne.
Yay!
On today's show, we're breaking down the opening of Universal with Roxanne, who was there on opening day. Today's rope drop question. Are we ready, guys?
Yes. What is it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, would you feel comfortable going to the parks right now? 1 being no way, I am not ready, and 10, absolutely. All right, so we'll start with Jules.
I'm ready. Give it a 10. Let's go. Put me in, coach. What about you, Tom?
I'm going to say give me an 11. I would literally get on a plane if I could do it and go, not to Universal, but to Disney. If I could go do that, I would totally go. I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I think this is the best time to go because there won't be that many people there or as many people there. But anyway, what about you, Roxanne?
Well,
I mean, obviously you went to Universal, so you're probably
a 10. But... yeah, because I've already been. So yeah, a 10 for sure. And after we go over what I've seen, maybe we'll get some more 10s.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a 10 for me. So let's just jump in. Tell us all about it. Tell us why we should go, because we're obviously all ready. So tell us all about Universal and why we should go.
Universal was awesome. Opening was very smooth. They were ready for us to be there. We didn't encounter a team member that didn't welcome us or say how excited they were to see us, or they were just so happy to be there again. So
now, do you know if they were, before they submitted the plans to the state, were they already training team members already at that time, or they didn't, or I mean, maybe you don't even know that answer to that question, but maybe nobody does. But so I'm kind of curious, because that seemed like a short time for when they submitted the plans to when they opened to get everybody trained as fast. Maybe they shouldn't have as many employees. I don't know. But
yeah, I'm not really sure when they brought back their employees. I never heard information about that. But I know that they were doing construction in the parks during the closure.
Okay, which is different than Disney, because
Disney shut everything down. Yeah.
Right.
So the 2 days before it opened to the public on Friday, who was invited? Who got to go?
The annual pass holders had a preview day.
Which you got to be
a
part of.
I did. So we got there on Wednesday, was our preview day. And when we signed up for to go to Universal Studios, and on the paperwork we had, it was unclear if we were able to park hop or not. But once we were there, we did figure out we were able to park hop. So we went to Islands for just a little bit.
Is the park hopping kind of the same as Disney with park hopping, where it's like you have to, is it as complicated as Disney, or is it, or is it really like you're just in the same park, you're just walking across a bridge or something like that?
The easiest way to describe it is, have you been to Disneyland?
Right.
It's basically the same.
Oh, okay.
That's how Universal is laid out, because you have like downtown Disney is City Walk.
Got
and
it.
Then the two parks on either side. So. Okay. You can, or you, if you have the park to park, you can go on the Hogwarts Express to get to the other park. We didn't do that. We left the park and walked out.
That's interesting that they allowed that, since Disney is not allowing park hoppers now. And I don't know if that came out today or was last couple of days, but so it's interesting that they decided to let that happen and Disney isn't. So we'll see.
I mean, that's going forward. Like, you can totally book park hoppers now for every, I mean, that wasn't just for annual pass. That's just going forward.
That's just Universal. Yeah. You can go into either park.
So. Right. Right.
I think it's a smaller space. I mean, it's not spread out. So if something medical happened in one park, it's probably will jump to the others. I mean, I think it's safe enough. They're close enough that I don't see why you couldn't park hop at Universal.
Yeah,
whereas at Disney World, they're literally like, you know, big spaces apart. And I could see an outbreak happening here that didn't happen over there.
Right.
You know, but who knows?
So what happened when I'm assuming you drove, right? And so you had to park.
We did.
Then, so like, tell us how that experience was from when you parked to when you got into the park. What all happened? Procedures, safety procedures. What's new?
Universal has parking garages, which is fabulous in the summer heat here, because you can park your car and it's covered the whole time. So you're not walking out to a blazing hot car at the end of the day.
Where you can't even touch the steering wheel and you're like,
Exactly. Well, you learn when you live here, you keep a towel in your car and it covers the seat and the steering wheel at all times. The parking garage, it wasn't too crowded. We did have to wait a little bit to get through the toll booth, but parking should have been free because most annual pass comes with parking, but you know, some of the lower ones may not.
Okay.
Because the people in front of us paid to park and it took forever.
Oh, wow.
Like, why are they paying? But maybe they had a lower pass. So
now, did they have spacing with the cars or everybody got to park right next to each other? There was no...
No, they were spacing the cars. So once you got into the parking garage, they had every other space blocked off. So the way they park their car is front to back. So a car parks, two cars will park front to back, but then there's a space in between.
Okay. That kind of seems
so you can get out of your car and have a little bit of room to gather your things.
Yeah. So, and then once we got out of the car and walked toward the, so you're still in the parking garage where they do the temperature check.
Okay. And you had to wear a mask, right?
You have to put on your mask at that point and go through the temperature check. That had a huge line.
I bet.
It was wrapped back and forth a few times even. It was such a long line, but it moved fast, but it was just a long line.
Now, do they have markers for the 6 feet from everybody to keep the social distance?
Or? They do, but not through the entire thing. So the markers don't start until you're closer to the temperature check. So I'm not good with distance. So I don't know how far back you were.
Right.
But as far back as we were and how they had the line wrapping around, it wasn't socially distant through that part. People were trying to maintain distance, but you could tell they're forgetting.
Right.
They're not remembering to do it. So,
And I think it's hard.
I mean, it's not what you're used to, and people are excited to get in. And
I mean, I'm used to it because I like to do social distancing before this all happened. So I like people around me. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, I even, you know, going to even stores when you're wait before they, at least where I am, you had to wait to get into places at certain times, and people were like on top of you. And it's like, why are you just back up? Yeah. Like, you're going to get in. Like, anyway, continue.
I don't know why they were doing it. But once we got up to the point where they had the stickers on the ground, then everybody was following that. So
the socially distant cars sounds like a thing that we should keep for later on.
I agree.
Like, how many car doors is that going to save somebody? What they could do is they could have the car pull up on the middle of the line. Ooh. So everybody parks on a line instead of inside. And then that way you have two spaces, right? So now you've got two spaces and you've got room, and then you don't have to like, does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's figuring a great out idea. Life right here.
I love that idea.
Using what we have.
You need to submit that. Submit that. That's a great idea.
Actually,
do that everywhere.
It makes sense. Not
opening the door into somebody else's car.
Right. Maybe we've just been doing it wrong this whole time. Maybe we're just supposed to park on the line, the center of the line in the car.
I mean, I've definitely seen people do it. I keep chalk in my the back of my car for those people so I can draw them
their own
parking space.
Shut up. Do you really?
I do, but I've only ever done it once.
That's so awesome.
I see you doing that.
That's funny.
So after we went through temperature check, that's when you're still in the parking garage, and that's when you go across the walkway and you get to the hub where they do the bag check. So but Universal does bag check like you're at the airport. You put your bags through an x-ray machine and then you walk through a metal detector. It's super, super efficient. And nobody's touching your bag. So that's something Disney needs to pay attention to, because that would be amazing if they did that.
Open all the zippers and pockets beforehand?
Nope.
No, just put it through.
Just throw your bag in.
Rock on.
In the bin, just like at the airport, and go on through. So getting there, it wasn't that bad. The long line for temperature check was kind of odd, because once we got through that, it wasn't a long line at all. Or they had enough bag checks open to pull us all through. And we really didn't have much problems with crowds after that at all. So we were kind of nervous about what the parks were going to look like after temp check, but it was fun.
So with the temperature check, how did they do the temp? Was it a touchless temperature check? They just like you know, I think there's one that you can, they don't have to even touch you to try to get it.
Yeah, it's just a forehead scan. So
okay. Is it like a gun or like a machine? Because the dentist office uses like a gun looking thing. I just didn't know.
It kind of did not really look a gun, but it was like a stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a person is physically, you're not like standing in front of a machine, but a person is like physically, right, putting it near you.
So again, after back check, we walked through City Walk. Again, it wasn't very crowded at all. Our time to arrive was supposed to be at 8:45, but due to traffic and our situation at home, we got there late. So we didn't even arrive until about 9:45.
So explain that part. So you had a specific time you should have been there?
Yeah, we were supposed to sign in at 8:45 to for a 9 o'clock arrival.
So does everybody have to register then? Has to pre...
This is only for the annual pass.
Oh, got it.
This is only for the annual pass preview. We had a registered time. Okay. But as long as you get there at any time, they were going to let us in.
Yeah.
They were just kind of staggering the entrance for that. And they're not doing that on regular days.
Okay.
So by the time we got there, it was time for the next group to come in too. We were like the last ones to come through. So let's see. We went in through... entrance, and now they are only scanning your ticket. They're not doing a fingerprint.
Oh, okay.
As well, which was never actually a fingerprint, but yeah, that's another show. so they're only scanning your ticket. They're not taking your finger too. So, after that, we were in the park and
it was amazing. It was great.
It was amazing.
Did anything feel different in the park, or was like, were there more hand sanitizer station thingies or anything else, or did it feel like it was before COVID-19?
It felt pretty normal. I didn't really notice the hand sanitizers. I'm sure they were there. Yeah. I just didn't seem to notice. We were so excited to just be in a theme park again. You know, it was hard to to notice that kind of stuff. But they do have signs out in front of like the bathrooms to show where to wash your hands. They don't have the hand washing stations that I saw like Disney has had.
Okay.
But they have specific signs out pointing you to the bathroom to wash your hands. Hmm.
So since everyone knows I love bathrooms, has anything changed in the bathrooms where they like, you can only use every other stall? I mean, you're girls, so that's different than dudes, but did they have any of that, or everyone just used it? Like if you had to wash your hands, did they only block off like certain sinks or?
Yeah, they blocked off every other sink.
Okay.
And I know this because every single time I went to the wrong sink.
Yeah.
But again, there was nobody really in there. If somebody was standing at the sink, then I would see to go to the next one. But nobody was at the sink at the same time. So I was like washing my hands like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Oops.
Right. So. Okay. I wonder if Disney will do something like that too. Because I mean, they have, if that's even possible.
Probably.
I'm kind of curious how the urinals are going to happen.
People are washing their hands.
Are they using... Is it all contactless drying, or are they using the thing where you push the paper towel to come out?
All the bathrooms have the those Dyson hand dryers that move your skin around. That's really fun.
Yeah.
They're so powerful. Yeah. They all have that, but some do have the paper towels, and I'm trying to think.
And that's where I think Disney's going to have a problem, because most of their bathrooms are all paper. There's very few bathrooms at Disney that have air dryers, and so that's going to be interesting. Are they kind of retrofit all that?
Maybe they might have already done that
as we speak.
Maybe that's why it's taking a month later, because I got to retrofit all that.
Maybe.
You never know.
I can't remember, because different bathrooms have different things. It kind of depends on when they were put in. So,
well, if I ever go to Universal, I'll make a report.
I do know this because we went to City Walk, because as soon as we get there, because it's almost an hour, 45 minute to an hour drive for us sometimes. So our first stop is the restroom.
Yeah.
And there's a bathroom in City Walk that we've always gone to, and they did not have a paper towel holder before, and they do now.
Oh. So they took out the air dryer?
And it was one where you push on it, so you just push with your elbow.
Oh.
I was going to make a joke about the Tangled bathrooms. I was going to say, there's no paper towels in Corona. Because, if you know, you know. But, yeah. Maybe... Maybe they'll put the hand dryers in now.
That's right. Okay. How did you stay for most of the day till it closed, or you left kind of early? Or
Let's see. We got there right about almost 10 and we stayed until 4. I think we left about 4.
So did you have a good feel for, I'm assuming by then most everybody who was going to be there was going to be there by 4 o'clock. Did it feel as crowded as before COVID-19 or did it feel, was it noticeably less people in there or did it, was there really no difference?
No, it definitely felt less crowded. It didn't feel like there was as many people. I have heard different accounts though, because we went to studios first and people who went to islands first had a completely different experience. There were more people in islands.
So did you have a choice which one you could go to when you showed up? Or did you pre-pick that?
I pre-picked studios because like I wasn't sure which one we would, that if we would be able to go to the other one. And studios is my personal favorite. So that's what I wanted to see.
Okay.
First thing that we did after we walked through and down the main street past Despicable Me, we went and had breakfast because we were starving. So we went to Today Cafe, which is fairly new. I think it just opened about a year or so ago. And we walked up to the restaurant and they stopped us at the entrance and asked us if we were comfortable with mobile order. And if so, that they could go ahead and seat us. Then we mobile order. Then they bring the food to us. If we weren't comfortable, then they would come and take our order and do it for us. So, but we did the mobile order.
In your mobile order option, does it have you say what table you're at?
No.
Okay. So they just kind of had to figure out where to bring it?
Yeah, because there were only so many people that were being sat in the restaurant. It's not very big at all. It's a very small little cafe.
Okay.
So they pretty much knew.
I heard that you probably didn't do dining plan or whatever because your annual pass, and I don't even know if they were doing it that day, but I heard that their mobile order is not ready yet for the dining plan. And so you can mobile order, but you'll still have to go up and one person from your party will still have to pay so that you can use your dining plan credit.
Yeah, that's true. They can't do the dining plan credits through mobile order yet. They also can't do annual pass discount through the mobile order. So we just had to pay full price until we went to Volcano Bay, which is another, we'll talk about that later. That was a little bit different. So at Today Cafe, they just brought our food out to us and
yeah,
it was fabulous. I love that place. It's great for a quick service. The thing I have noticed, though, and we'll talk about this later, too, when we had lunch, the dining is a little awkward. And it's just everybody's learning their new procedures and everything is so different than how it used to be. Dining does come off awkward.
Okay.
When you're there. So
awkward with people that are eating or awkward with the
Servers, okay. And just learning their procedures, and because it's completely different than how they used to do things.
Yeah, so. I mean, I finally went out into the world and ate at a restaurant while we were finally allowed to like have outside seating. They still can't eat inside where I'm at now, but it's been probably a week or two that they've been able to do it, and it felt awkward just eating at a restaurant. The servers were still like, I don't know, we're like trying to figure out what it is, you know, where you're like, is this a new server? And I'm like, you know, I wasn't trying to be mean about it. I didn't even say anything. I was just thinking about it. Like, you know, this is different, you know, just, and there's not as many tables, but it still really felt awkward. And I just couldn't figure out until you talk now. I'm like, it was just an awkward,
experience. They want you to feel comfortable too. So it's like, kind of like, you know, walking on eggshells and that like,
right.
Are they comfortable? Yeah, am I comfortable? Exactly. Am I still following the rules? Blah, blah. It's just I'm just trying to give you your food.
They're still touching your plate and putting your plate physically on your table. Cause I would think if you were going to do contactless service, you would put, like a tray stand. Like when you have a big order and they bring a stand, like a luggage rack stand, and they put the big tray on it, you would put that next to the table with the tray, and then the people at the table would take off their own.
So we actually did do that at Today Cafe. They brought the tray to us and we just took our food off of it.
Cool.
From there.
That's probably awkward for them too.
Exactly.
Because they're used to giving it to you. And, you know, it's almost like one of those things, like you feel kind of rude. Like, I'm not giving it to you. But at the same time, this is the new rule. I'm not being rude. I can understand that.
That's exactly how it was.
The other day I ordered Starbucks at the drive-thru and they put the cup in like a ceramic mug. And I legitimately thought that she was handing me ceramic mug like I won a prize. And she's like, no, just take the one cup. Oh sorry.
You just contaminated everybody.
So everybody can be awkward.
So now they had to wash that ceramic mug, right. And they had to use a different one all because of you.
You know, so it's not, it's the servers and it's the people too who don't know. So it'll be that way for everyone's first time forever.
Well, we were at this restaurant, the parking was literally right by the tables. And so we didn't have to even though we're supposed to wear masks, we didn't wear masks to walk to the table. And then, we have little kids and it's like, can we go inside to use the bathroom? Do we need masks? And they're like, no, just walk in there and do it. And I'm like, but then when you walk in, the servers are like, their masks are like down, by their chin and they're all, they're not, that's the OCD in me where, we talk about all this stuff and I'm just like, germs everywhere. Like somebody's touching your food somewhere. Like there's whether they serve it, that's interesting that they put it on a plate and you picked your own. Like to me, it's like, what does it matter? Someone's already touched the plate. It doesn't, But anyway, I'm getting off onto my germaphobe stuff here. So
yeah. Okay, Monk.
All right. So let's move on to maybe rides or something like that where you're walking okay, around. That's right.
So the first ride that we did was E.T. because that is my favorite. It's just a cute dark ride where you go through the story, not the story of E.T., but it's like after E.T. So he's being called back to his home planet because the planet's dying. So it's a whole thing. But it's super cute ride. So we got in line for that. The mask that I have tends to move when I talk and it'll fall below my nose a little. And as I was approaching the entrance to the ride, they're like, you need to fix your mask. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll do it. And again, before I got on the ride, they said it again.
Yeah.
Your mask has fallen down and you need to fix that. So
at least people are looking.
They are definitely on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were definitely looking to see, make sure your mask was covered.
Now, of course, they had masks to buy, or could you even get into the park if you didn't have a mask?
I'm not, everybody's had one.
Right.
Going through temp check, but they did have some for sale.
Okay. I did a training this past week with Universal Welcome Back Training, and they talked about how they will be supplying one disposable to each person. I don't know how they're going to track that. They only gave you one, but like if yours were to fall off or whatever, they will give you one disposable. And then after that, you'll have to buy it.
So that could be when they're doing that as a temp check too, because they want you to have it on before you even get through. But yeah, they're definitely checking and watching. Make sure you have it on.
So I guess I don't know what E.T., how that is, what kind of ride it is, but were they cleaning after every guest?
They
used it or it was like, okay.
No. So as you went through their line, there were social distancing marks. So we did that all the way through the line. And normally E.T., when you go through, it asks you for your name. Because E.T. actually says goodbye to you at the end.
Okay.
And they were not doing that at this time. So, because they take your name, they type it into a thing, they hand you a card, and then you have to turn in the card before you board. So they are not doing that at this time. Oh. And at the end of the ride, E.T. just said, bye, friend, or friends. So.
Was the spacing themed? Was it themed spacing? Like E.T. themed?
No, it's all the same throughout Universal. It's the blue, like blue and dark blue.
Did you load every other one or no? It's far enough apart.
So for E.T. is a, it's basically like Peter Pan where it hangs down from the ceiling and you're on a bicycle and there are four bicycles across and there's three rows. We were on the first row, so it was two of us. And then I think they skipped the row behind us. And then there were some people behind on the on the last row. So there was nobody in the middle row. So they're kind of seating, like if you had a party of five or whatever, you'd get the first two rows.
Right.
And then they probably wouldn't see the last row. So they're spacing people out there. So once you get up to the load platform, the car approaches and that's when they give you hand sanitizer.
Okay.
So they squirt hand sanitizer for everybody because you're right about to get on the ride vehicle. Right. So they weren't wiping off all the ride vehicles, but you get hand sanitizer before you get on.
Okay.
And then as you got off, there was a stand that had more for when you were off.
And you had to wear your mask on the whole time during
the mask
ride,
on the whole time during the ride. And that we noticed that the hand sanitizer was the same for E.T. and Men in Black.
Okay.
I went through the same procedure.
So I know you don't do roller coasters. I don't know if you were able to see anybody on the roller coasters. Were they wearing masks while they were on the
roller coasters? They were wearing masks on the roller coasters.
Okay. I feel like mine's going to fly off. I mean, like if I did it, I'd be that person where it just, everybody doesn't fit well. And then
I guess they'll be giving you a free one.
Yeah.
YouTube video that somebody did on the AP day. It's a guy. And it's specifically about wearing masks on roller coasters. And he's got like the GoPro or whatever in front of him. So you see his face the whole time and it shows if his mask stays on or not.
Oh.
You can, we can put it in the, I can put it in the show notes.
Right.
You can check it out.
The thing that I noticed the most, and this was at ET, is when you're standing in line, with everybody, they're on vacation, they're excited, they're happy, they're talking about the ride, they're excited. That's not there anymore.
Oh.
With the physical distancing, you don't have that sensation anymore. It was just like we were shuffling forward. Next, next, next. It didn't have that shared experience kind of feel to it anymore, which was seriously lacking for me because that's one of the things I kind of feed off of. Especially because I tend to go to the parks a lot by myself. So hearing conversations in line or, you know, somebody says something funny and I'll laugh and we'll talk for a minute. You know, you have your line buddies.
Right, right.
And that was completely lacking with this.
I didn't really think about that. You know, you probably can't overhear the conversations as much as you normally would, which I really don't like hearing other people talk in their families. But it is part of the experience of, you know, hey, maybe I'm, you know, there's sometimes you want to listen to what people are saying, but, you know, or like
I like watching, to listen to what people are saying because people are crazy.
Right, right. Or like watching videos, you know, someone has their phone up, you're watching them play a game or something, you know, where you're like, I know that answer. All right, you know, whatever.
Or Tom, who doesn't like anybody, is
or you might be able to help them out. Like if they didn't know something. You might be able to say, oh, hey, you know, there's a FastPass kiosk just over there. Yeah. Oh, my phone died. I can't make FastPasses. Oh, there's a place to charge your phone. There's a place to do this or whatever.
Yeah.
None of that.
None of that.
Well, that's
none of that.
You know.
So it was a weird experience for me because that's what I've been used to from going to the parks for the past almost a year now. We've been on here almost a year. Was just that shared experience. It was kind of odd. And it happened again when we got off the ride. You know, because now people are excited because they've done the rides. So they want to talk. Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? And it wasn't.
Really?
That wasn't there either. Yeah.
Huh. I never would have thought that would. Yeah.
Was there a normal amount of ride squealing? Like people on the rides being vocal like they normally would, like screaming or laughing or woohoo?
What dark rides do you ride?
It's muffled. It's a muffled screaming. It's like,
yes. Well, we can hear the roller coaster and you can hear the screams.
Like that, you know, I mean, you can hear if people are on a roller coaster, if they're screaming or whatever. I mean, come on.
Okay. So Men in Black specifically, we were in our own car.
Oh, okay.
So Men in Black is, it's basically like Buzz Lightyear. If you've ridden that, you have a gun and you're shooting at aliens. And there's usually six people to a car. There were two people in our car, me and my husband. So usually you're, you know, kind of shooting against each other, trying to see who wins and stuff. That was very awkward ride because that we're awkward, my husband's awkward, but you know, you don't have, again, you don't have that shared experience with people like, oh, we're on the same team. And you know, that you're kind of, going along with a separate car of six people, and there's at one point where you go through where you're supposed to shoot the other car, and it's like, okay, it was just me trying to shoot this other car, and I was like, do I really want to shoot, because it makes their car spin like crazy.
Like,
do I really want to be the one responsible for making them spin like that? So yeah, it was just a kind of strange situation. I don't know. I need to go back to see if that was just an annual pass day. Because, you know, we're all used to going on the rides and stuff. So no vacationers were there yet. So I need to go back and see.
I think this will show a lot of rides that are not made for this.
Sure.
You know, how they're doing stuff. They weren't made for this. There are going to be a lot of, you know, I think now that you're talking, it's like, you know, like Toy Story Mania. You know, are they going to have, you know, you facing each other, even though you're in two separate cars, you do face the other car as I'm holding my hands up that nobody at home or listening can see, but you know, you're facing each other in two separate cars at certain times, you know, are they going to still have that? Is that too close, you know, or, you know, and then all the spinning and, you know, and sitting back to back, are they going to, you know, I mean, I guess you're back to back, so it shouldn't matter, but you know, I don't know. Yeah. Just something, there's something that came up where it's like, you know, now I'm really curious how they're going to do certain rides or, you know, like pirates, are you going to get a boat to yourself? Is one row enough? Mm-hmm. Or like Space Mountain at Disney World, you know, that's in a row. Is it, if you only have two people, do you get the whole two cars to yourself, or do they, you know, cause it's not 6 feet. I'm bringing up stuff that is all
no, that's a good point, because
part of, you know, opening.
It's crazy, you know,
because while the lines are shorter, but you have to also account for the spacing that they're doing.
Right.
So even though we were farther apart in the line, by the time you get to the car, it's like invisible people are there also in line in your car. So it's like a regular kind of day. So.
Right. Yeah.
Just
So you guys went as a family. So three people.
No, we just went with two.
Oh, you just went with
my daughter didn't go.
Okay. Did you see larger groups? Did you see any big groups, or were they all like groups of two, groups of three? Like, did you see any groups of five or six?
Oh yeah. Families were there. Yeah. There were five or six.
How was the children and their masks?
The children, I think they feel like it's an adventure. Maybe I didn't see any kids that didn't have it on. Okay. And they seemed happy. So I never saw,
I think like there's a major difference in wearing your mask and going to get to ride rides than wearing your mask to the grocery store. Cause I even feel the same way.
Right.
Very true.
If I know I'm going to get to do something fun, then maybe I'll wear my mask.
Now with the big groups and waiting in line that are supposed to be 6 feet apart, was there ever, you know, did it ever feel like some people were encroaching on the 6 feet? If you had the markers on the floor, like family, you know, like, I mean, if you've ever been to Disney World, you know, there's those families that take up a whole like queue because they're like, you know, five or six of them, but they all can't sit next to each other. So they, you know, they'll have to spread out, you know, was everybody pretty staying close to the dot or whatever was on the ground to show you where the 6 feet
were? They seemed to be pretty close together. Like they were conscious of the space they were taking up. Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't seem to be an issue.
Okay.
With that. So about the masks.
How was it? Was it hot?
The day we were there was Wednesday. It wasn't too hot. It was cloudy. It was about 84-ish, but there was a little bit more humidity. So about 70% humidity.
Okay. That's a lot.
The mask isn't horrible as long as you're moving and air is flowing. Anytime we had to stop, that's when I felt like, okay, right. This is too much. But what Universal has done is set up U-Rest stations. So there's two in each park and one in City Walk. And then you can go in there and take off your mask. And they have seats set up so you can be physically distant and have your mask off.
Interesting.
For a while. It was a very, very
They're like
area.
Smoking zones, but yeah, mask
exactly.
zones.
But well,
I made that joke. I made that joke. I was like, oh, here's how you get out of wearing your mask. Go, you know, start smoking now.
Right.
Not gonna help anybody. But you can go in that area.
Were there people using it when you were passing by, or did you use it?
Yes. Yeah, so we, the one in Universal Studios, we were just looking at it and I took a picture of the sign and I talked to the team member for a little while and she's like, oh yeah, this is great. Come on in and, you know, take off your mask, rest for a while. And she also told us that if we were somewhere in the park and not around people, like if we found a bench, I tend to sit back by the Barney area past ET. And she's like, nobody's around, take it off. Just sit down, take a break, take off your mask. But if somebody comes near you, you know, you need to put it right back on. I was like, oh yeah, for sure. But
I know me and you have talked about it, and I think I've said it on the podcast. That just, like, what's the point of wearing the mask then if everyone can take it off, put it on, you're touching it, you're contaminating, you're assuming that people are going to have hand sanitizer with them to clean their hands before they touch it and take it off. Yeah. But the thing is, I've seen it even on TV, elected officials, they take it off and then they touch the inside of it And then they put it back on and they're touching everything else. I'm like, so what's the point? Why
even wear it? I'm not a doctor. So yeah. Don't say Joy the doctor.
Don't at me. Don't at Joy.
Yes, because I am not a doctor. Don't at Dr. Joy. What I've seen most and read most about masks is that you are not protecting yourself. You're really just protecting other people. So you're touching it, contaminating it, whatever. But when I have it on, my bodily fluids from my mouth are not coming out on other things. So, you know, if you're wearing it for those reasons, I think it's okay to touch it. I mean, ultimately, you're you. So I think for the reasons that they're using it for.
Oh, I get it. But if we're trying to stop, you know, we're thinking that this is preventing stuff. Right.
You took your mask off and you touched it, and then you touched the microphone or you touched the stanchion or you touched the chopsticks, and then somebody else picked that up after you, then your bodily fluids.
Because we all.
Things.
Because we all know that everybody is not just not touching their face the whole day. I mean, you do it subconsciously where you're just like touching stuff and now you just, you know, like, and that's where I get stuck up with the mask thing is if you're gonna, you know, and like when people say make fun of people driving a car, I'm like, well, they're actually doing what you're supposed to. Once you put it on, you shouldn't touch it again until you take it off because you're contaminated. You know, anyway, that could be a whole nother, that's for a different podcast.
That's a whole can of worms.
That's for that medical podcast.
Right. Sorry. Not this one. But it's good to know that they have spaces like that. And, you know, especially if it's an unknown thing to, or a secret rule to say, if there's no one around you, just you can take it off for a couple minutes.
Oh, it's hot there. Yeah. So you're going to need some breathers.
Yeah. I felt like they'd rather you take it off than pass out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, of course, obviously.
So we did actually get to experience that. We were over by the New York area. There's a section that's called Central
Passing
Park.
Passing out? Or?
No. Oh, okay. Getting to take it off. So in the New York area, there's a section called Central Park, and there are benches there, and they are set back away from, like, you walk through the street to get to places. The benches are set back from the street. So we were, and their benches were separated, so there was nothing that right next to us. So we did take off our mask while we were sitting there. And then it started to rain. So it's like, okay, do I wear the mask in the rain? Because then it's just going to get wet.
Oh, and that's interesting.
So we hid under a tree for a while for that part.
In the summertime, on average, there's at least a sprinkle once a day, right?
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's 5 minutes or half an hour or whatever. So that's interesting. I hadn't considered the tropical factor beyond humidity.
You know, and I don't think anybody really has yet because later it did actually really, really rain down while we were eating lunch. And I was watching, nobody took off their masks.
Right.
I'm like,
So I know if I've been wearing my mask for a while, like my own, you know, breathing just it makes the mask wet. And that makes it harder to breathe because it's all wet. So, you know, I guess it would be kind of the same thing there, maybe even more because it's more humid in Florida than it is where I'm at now. But I just can't imagine if you had a rainstorm on your mask and you didn't like switch it out for a fresh one.
Right.
You know, like how would you breathe? Like, I mean, I was struggling breathing.
You would buy a new one. If your poncho rips, you buy a new one.
You buy a new one and a new umbrella.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're going to do for that for the summer because, I mean, you're not allowed to wear the mask on water rides.
Okay.
So anything where you're going to get wet, like Jurassic Park, the bilge rat barges, Dudley Do-Rights.
Really?
There's a few. Yeah, you can't wear your mask on those because a wet mask does nothing.
Right.
So
I guess you kind of
need like mask drying stations. bathing suit. Yeah.
So I guess you either have to bring like a bunch of masks if you're going to be there like all day in the heat, or you have to put in your budget to buy masks to. I mean, I know there's people who are going to wear the same mask the whole day, whether it's wet or not, and they don't care. But I don't know. Yeah. For me, I've already experienced it being wet, and it's tough to breathe, especially when it's hot outside.
Imagine,
like, you know,
for a little kid with a wet mask, it's going to get itchy. It's going to make their little cheeks all red and chafy and.
Right.
No,
that's not.
So, next time I go, I'll see if I can see anything about what they're saying about.
Make sure to get your mask wet and let us know how it was.
Yeah.
Relevant mask question: were people still taking selfies? You know how there's like selfie walls and selfie places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, were people still taking selfies for the gram, but like with their mask, or were they taking their mask off and smiling and like putting it back on?
I saw both.
Okay.
We saw people doing both. Some were taking it, just pulling off a little bit and taking the selfie, and then some were just leaving it.
That's a good question.
Universal does have masks, themed masks for sale. Well, not themed, but universal themed.
Right.
So there was a rainbow one that said love is universal. There's a white one with black wording that just says universal. And then there was a blue one that was a universal AP special mask. And they were $6 each or $3, $4, $15. And I did get to see what they were. It looked like they were rayon or like polyester kind of on the outside, but cotton on the inside.
Are they elastic over the ears?
Yeah, they had the elastic over the ears. They looked comfortable, but I didn't buy one. So,
for people who are listening who don't know what Roxanne looks like, she usually wears glasses sometimes, mostly, right?
So, during the day, I'm wearing sunglasses at all times.
Okay. So did they ever fog up while you were doing your mask? Because
I
learned a new trick, because my wife has to wear a mask most of the day, is you get some clear tape or like medical tape or whatever, and you tape your mask on your nose, all the way down your nose, just like a little bit here, and it won't fog up because all the air gets pushed outside of your mask.
I think that would irritate me more than the fog.
Oh, I agree with you. But like, she has to do that for what she does. Yeah. But that's something they discovered was putting the tape on the nose, you know, and then it doesn't fog up your glasses. Yeah.
I just try to make sure my sunglasses are on the outside of the mask, or that is kind of when I tend to push the mask down a little bit so I can breathe out without fogging up. But fogging up is a big problem here anyway, especially in the summer. So your glasses are going to fog up.
Yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
Is there a coat, you know, like you can get a coating for your windshield. Is there a coating for glasses?
There's something somewhere about that.
It was like shaving cream. I've heard of that. Like put shaving cream on it and clean it off real good. And then that's supposed to be anti-fog. I've never tried it.
Don't at us if you try it and it doesn't.
I think there is something, because like when I used to snowmobile, there was something we would spray on our goggles so that stuff wouldn't get foggy and, you know, stuff like that.
That was very sanitary.
Yeah, there's anti-fog. Yeah, my daughter has those for her goggles. She has anti-fog spray.
Now, did you go to Islands of Adventure eventually or no?
We only went in there briefly. We were ready to leave the park at the end of the day. But I wanted to go in just long enough to see, they are building a new roller coaster at the, Jurassic Park area of the park. And you can see it from across the lake. So I just wanted to go in far enough to see, and, you know, for myself that they're actually building the roller, and they have definitely laid track since the parks were last open. They're definitely doing work in there.
Pictures. So normally a cast member would take a picture for you. I've heard that that is not going to be the case. This is what I heard. And I just was wondering if you saw this. If they said in that training I did that the cast members would have company phones and they could airdrop it to you. Did you see any cast members taking pictures of other people? Because you're not going to,
assuming
you're not supposed to ask somebody else to take your picture for you, because that's like against ethical.
Yeah, they don't want to touch your phone now.
Super awkward. But you want, if you're just there as a family of four, you don't want every picture to have one person left out. So did you see any of this? Do you know any of this? Does any?
I didn't notice that. And I don't have an iPhone, so I can't use that anyway.
See, yeah, not everybody would be able to do that.
That's a good point, Joy, because at Disney, you always have people going, hey, can you take a picture of my family? Yeah. Or is people offering, you know, there's people who even offer to take pictures.
With PhotoPass, but
randomly
Universal doesn't have as many, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I have never actually bought PhotoPass at Universal or whatever photo.
Yeah, I haven't actually.
Whatever they call it. But they don't have as many like paparazzis around.
Right.
They have a lot of rides that have photos. So if you're a ride junkie and you want to do the photo thing, you will get a lot. There are a lot of rides and those are all included in their photo pass. But as far as just paparazzis all around, it's not the same as Disney, but there are cast members or team members, as they call them, that are out and about and would normally have taken your photo.
Or even just guests will sometimes offer.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't I didn't notice.
Maybe
that.
I would still do it.
I probably would too.
But you feel weird asking. Like, I've asked so many questions during this pandemic that I probably would have never asked before. Like, my daughter had a graduation and her best friend was there, and I texted her mom and was like, is it okay if, do you feel comfortable taking a picture after the ceremony? Like, it's like, I would never have asked that before, but you're asking these questions and you hate to ask someone who doesn't feel comfortable. So
I wonder if Disney is going to allow selfie sticks now so that you can solve that problem. Like, they don't allow it. They don't allow it, you know, now, but that was to keep, you know, I'm assuming it was to keep people from blocking everybody's view, but
yeah. Before we go to Volcano Bay, did you go into Wizarding World? Is Wizarding World socially distant?
We did go into Diagon Alley. It wasn't very crowded. So, like, this was, okay, every time you walk into Diagon Alley, there's 100 people aimed at the dragon up above and waiting for it to go off. And it wasn't like that this time. There was hardly anybody in there.
But that's kind of a difference in annual pass versus...
That's true.
True. We've got that picture.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is going to be how things are going to be a little different once people come that maybe have never been there before
or go there often.
Well, you went twice, right? You went on pass holder day and then you went on like a civilian day.
No, the civilian day, we just went to Volcano Bay. But before we go to Volcano Bay, I have one more topic for the dry parks. The biggest issue that we had was the lockers. So with Universal
ride lockers,
with Universal, there are certain rides that you cannot take a bag on with you. Men in Black, Revenge of the Mummy, Hagrid's Motorbike, both the Harry Potter rides, Gringotts and Forbidden Journey, and then Rip Ride Rocket and the Hulk. Rip Ride Rocket and the Hulk, you actually have to go through a metal detector before you can go on the ride, but all of those rides, you have to put your things in a locker. So what we had to do was stand in line before we could get into the locker section. They were assigning people where to go. So they gave us like locker bank number 10. When it was our turn, we went up, got our locker, and I noticed that one of the other locker bins was not being used at all, but they were cleaning it. So they opened every locker in that bank and sprayed it down. And then they were supposed to be, I guess they take it offline for an hour, 2 hours, something like that, before anybody else can use it. So we put our stuff in the locker, went on Men in Black. Here's the problem was we came back. We had to stand in that same line, which was much longer by this point, to get back into our locker to get our stuff out.
Wow.
Really?
The problem was they had already stopped using our bank of lockers and were using bank 9. So everybody who was at bank 9, we had to wait for them to leave before we could go to bank 10. And they were only allowing maybe 5 people.
I'm going to just shove my stuff under that bush over there.
Because it was kind of a pain to do that.
You had to wait in like the ride queue?
Not the ride queue, the locker line. So we had to wait with people who were also dropping their stuff off.
Right.
And it had gone considerably by the time we came back.
Yeah.
That was an issue. That
needs to be figured out.
Yeah. Because they were only letting about 5 or 10. I don't even think 10 people were in there. There was like 5 maybe in different banks of lockers. And it's like, okay, you can actually put a few more people in there. I think you can fit a few more. But yeah, it was that was very awkward.
All right. So Volcano Bay, how was that?
Bet it smelled amazing.
Volcano Bay was a completely different experience.
Good or bad?
Amazing.
Okay.
Absolutely amazing.
Is that because you didn't have to wear a mask?
Yes. That's part of it. Volcano Bay, we went there the day the parks officially opened. And I chose to go to Volcano Bay because I figured everybody's going to want to go, who's finally allowed in, is going to want to go to the dry parks.
Right.
We'll go to Volcano Bay and have pretty much the park to ourselves. It was not crowded at all. So yes, Volcano Bay, you have to wear masks to get in. They had us wearing our masks to go into the locker area. But here's the trouble. So once you put your stuff in the locker, your mask is in the locker. So when you come back to the locker, you can't, how are you going to wear a mask? Cause it's already in there.
Right.
So they weren't.
They say to you, like, where's your mask? And you're like, it's in locker number 9.
No, but I felt like they were going to, but I'm like, how can they?
Sure.
Right.
Because there's no way around that. Because if you carry your mask with you, now it's just getting wet on the water ride.
So right. I guess you could stick it on your towel if you find a spot.
Yeah. See, we didn't even bother to get chairs. We just shoved everything in a locker and just walked around for the day. So
was there anything that you had to sign or anything that was like, you know, if you enter this water park, you are knowingly in a space where masks are not worn and you take this upon yourself, like anything like that?
Not at all.
No wording or anything like that? Like, this is a mask-free zone. If you're not comfortable not wearing a mask, you probably should exit now.
There may have been a sign when we walked in. I don't remember. We were, so the first thing we had to do when we went in was upgrade our passes, because we only had 2 park passes. So we had to upgrade to the 3 park pass to do Volcano Bay. We were not planning to do a 3 park pass, because usually Volcano Bay is blocked out for pass holders over the summer, especially July, August. And this year they have lifted that ban. Cool. So I'm like, we're getting the pass, because right. I'll go there every day.
Yeah.
And be on that lazy river, right?
Yeah. And the fast river. I love the fast river.
So how were the lazy rivers? Like, did they clean the tubes after everybody used them?
They did. They had a stack. So when she used the tube, you brought it back. They put it in a stack and then they sprayed them down.
They also are cleaning I think I saw this on somebody's post, the life vest.
Mm-hmm, after you take off the life vest, you put it in a bin and they clean them off before they put them back up on the pegs for the next person. That is one thing you can definitely see with Volcano Bay and the Universal dry parks. Everything is clean. I have never seen everything so clean before. And I made a joke. I was like, if you're ever going to drop food on a table and eat it off the table, now's the time.
Right.
Because you know it's clean.
But did everything smell like cleaner, or did it smell like a water park?
No, it just smelled like a water park. Smelled like chlorine.
Chlorine. So, chlorine and
chlorine and happiness.
Chlorine and sunblock.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so the first thing we did was we went to Krakatau, which is the water coaster. And I've actually have never done that before because the lines have been too long.
Because you're not a ride rider.
And I'm not a ride rider. So
did you do it?
I did. It was so fun. It was terrifying because it's... it's a water coaster. So
it's magnetic.
It go up and down through the course. And as you go up, you go faster going up because the water jets are pushing you. It's terrifying. So
is your husband a ride? Does he like rides?
He rides everything.
Okay. So he's like always like, come on, Roxanne, come on.
No, he won't push it. He knows.
<That's> better. But he's like excited when you want to do something because he likes to do it. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like y'all were talking each other into it. He's ready to go. All right.
All right. Yeah, so let's have a Dr. Phil moment here. Why did you decide to go on the ride all of a sudden?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask why she married a ride junkie.
No.
I wasn't sure where we were going with that.
I know, yeah. Right?
I didn't know what else to say. I just thought that was the first thing that came to my head. So what made you decide to go? Was it just because of us? Because you wanted to come back and tell us?
I wanted to be able to talk about it again.
That's right.
No, I've always wanted to try it, but it just didn't work out because either the line was too long, or we had the virtual line and then the ride went down, or... There are some rides that I can do, like I'll do the Mummy if my stomach can handle it. So if I feel like I'm going to get sick on a ride, I won't ride it. Just because that'll end my day. Right. I'm going to have to go home after that. So,
right.
Of virtual things, are they still doing Tapu Tapu?
Yes.
Ah, so they must be cleaning those after each use before they give them back.
Because you take it for the whole day.
Right.
It's yours for the whole day. And they have different ones. So we had a blue one on Friday, but they also have tan ones. So they can easily have, you know, the next day they'll use tan, let the blue ones rest for a day. So
it's good.
yeah, that'd be easy to keep those separate. So the first thing we did was went to Krakatau and rode that. It was a short line. I think we waited maybe 10 minutes.
Was it letting you get on right away, or did you have to use your tapu?
No, everything was ride now. I don't remember seeing anything that had an actual wait time more than maybe 5 or 10 minutes. Awesome. Everything was listed as ride now. So my husband did do a couple of raft rides, but I just stayed in the lazy river after that and the fast river. So for the masks, again, the only time we had to wear them was to walk into the park. And then if you were going to do any shopping in the shops, you had to wear them. And when you walked into the restaurant seating area, until you got to your table. Once you're at your table, you could take it off.
So you needed to go to your locker, get your mask before you went to go eat. So you can't just saddle up to the poolside bar.
No, you had to have a mask to get into the seating. And once you're seated, you can take it off. So I had to go get my bag anyway, because I had to mobile order with my phone and my phone was in the locker. So I just grabbed it off.
So they're doing mobile order there too.
Yes. Again, they ask you if you're comfortable with mobile ordering, and order, sit down, they bring the food to you. And what they were doing is walking around to each table and taking our name so that when the order came up, they knew where it went.
Makes sense. I think my most luxurious brain that I can come up with right now is a cabana situation at Volcano Bay, and like sitting in my chair, mobile ordering with my hat and my sunglasses, and it just appears, you know, like that would just be the most amazing thing. It would be it feels so supremely pretentious and luxurious, but that's like the way that the world is now, I guess. You punch it in on your phone and it appears where you are.
Well, and like, I feel like sometimes we're supposed to feel bad about that, but right now it's like, it's better, it's safer. So don't feel bad. You're doing the right thing.
I Apple Paid at CVS today. Like, I feel like I've come into 2020.
You know what? I do that. I do eat at McDonald's, and I know you can at me if you don't agree with that, but what's interesting though is like, I guess the McDonald's I go to, people don't really do Apple Pay. So I'm always like, I'll pay with my watch. And they're like, what? I'm like, you just stick the thing out the window and I tap. And they're like, oh, I've never seen someone do that before. I'm like, this is McDonald's. Nobody pays.
I have an Apple Watch and I've never used it to pay.
Oh, I use it to pay for anything I can. I mean, it's great. It's so, I don't have to touch my phone. Don't have to bring out my wallet. Just go.
Maybe I'll work on that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Anyway, so do you think the parks were, I guess generally, because you said, you know, being in the spacing kind of made it not as fun or excitement. Do you think generally the parks were more enjoyable with less people, or do you think missing hearing everybody talk about how excited they are, hearing everyone talk about different stuff, that kind of, it's kind of taking away the fun of being at the parks from before COVID?
I think it took it away for me specifically, because I tend to go to the parks by myself. And I like hearing how people are having, how their vacation is going, or what they're talking about. I like to eavesdrop. Sorry.
Right. Everybody
does. Stand by Roxanne in the line.
Listening. Because you never know what you're going to hear. I have heard some crazy stuff in the parks by myself.
Like
I
was what?
Totally off topic. Okay. I was in Magic Kingdom one day, walking in front of the castle and at the partner statue. And this family beside me was like, oh, let's go see where Walt Disney is buried.
Nice.
And did they say
that? And I was like, that's not. And then somebody else said, he's not buried there. He's still alive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Elvis and Tupac, they're all together.
So, like, if he was alive, he'd be like 120, but okay, yeah. Sure. But on that same line about listening to people and hearing their excitement, especially little kids. Oh my goodness. When you hear that little kid is like, oh, this is the best day ever. You know, it just puts it all in perspective for you again. So that I kind of feed off that when I go into the parks. So I did feel like that was missing a little bit.
Now, when you went, do you think there was more locals than there were out of state tourists, whatever you want to call them?
Absolutely. Locals. Yeah. Okay. Everybody was locals.
Okay.
I think they just opened the hotels on the 2nd.
Oh, okay.
The Universal Hotel. So I'm pretty sure everybody that we saw was
They did open during that annual pass time. If you were staying on property, you could go, but it was very limited. But
yeah, I don't think
it's not nearly as many people. We have friends that went for a day on Thursday just so they could go in early. But, you know, it's just going to be few and far between early on. And I think as it stays open longer and people continue to report how their experiences were and what Universal is doing. And of course the media likes to be really honest and tell people if it's good or bad. And that helps people make decisions on whether or not they want to come there. So really only time will tell how busier it gets. But again, they're not saying what their capacity really is. They are saying if you are staying on property, you're guaranteed in. They have factored that into the capacity, but nobody knows the capacity. So how much busier will it get?
So unlike Disney, Universal is not having you pick a park that you're going to be in all day. It's still just kind of open and it's like first come, first serve for Universal. Is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. A lot of people are going to start in Islands just because they're going to try to get on Hagrid's roller coaster.
Right.
So I feel like that park will feel more crowded and it has more bottleneck areas.
Got it.
Whereas less people will be trying to go to Studios and it has a lot more open space.
Now, do you guys know, or maybe you experienced that, if Islands is at capacity and you wanted to park hop over to that, are they going to say no? Or like, does anybody know how they're going to do that? Or is park capacity between the two parks? And once that hits, then it doesn't matter how many are on one side compared to the, I guess that's just something I was talking about while you're talking compared to like Disney, where it's like, you have to, sign up for the park you're in and that's the only park you can be in.
Imagine maybe that the park capacity is really between the two parks if they're allowing park to park tickets and they're also allowing Express Pass, which you didn't talk on, but if you want to tell people what Express Pass is, it's still there. They didn't eliminate that, which I was super shocked, I guess, based on the fact that Disney isn't doing fast passes, but
yeah, so really, Universal still has their Express Pass, so you can get that either by staying at one of their three hotels, Hard Rock, Portofino, and Royal Pacific comes with, or you can purchase it separately with your ticket. Actually, I do have Express Pass now because we upgraded to the three-park ticket, and I upgraded to the higher tier, so I actually have Express Pass now, but with our annual pass, it's only after 4. And we can only use it on one ride per day. So like we could ride the Mummy once.
Right.
Whatever, on each ride once.
Okay.
Per day. So I don't usually use Express Pass because I just don't ride the rides that require it. But they were doing Express Pass and they were also doing virtual lines.
Okay.
The day that we tried to use that was the pass holder preview day. And it did seem to be having issues. If a ride was available, it would show up the times that we could get. And by the time I'd click on it, it would give me an error. So we went through that several times. So this is new for them. The virtual line was only at Race Through New York with Jimmy Fallon and Fast and Furious previously. Those are the only two rides that had it. Now that they've opened it up to more rides, I think they're just trying to work out the bugs in that system. So I set up a virtual queue or virtual line for the Mummy for after our lunch. And by the time we went there, the ride was down. So we didn't get to experience the virtual queue at all.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it happens.
Sure.
Let's see. We did also have one for Jimmy Fallon, but that was more just to see if I could get a second one. They are allowing you to get 2 virtual queues at a time.
Okay.
Here's the kicker. I can get 2 on my phone through the app. My husband could get 2 more on his app.
Interesting.
Because you're not linked like Disney does. So Disney app, you have all your friends and family linked together. So when you pick your ride, you pick your other person who's going with you.
Right.
Universal was just like, how many people? And we're like, two. And then my husband's like, two. But there's no names.
Because your tickets aren't linked either to your...
No.
To your thing. But it knows you're in the park based on GPS.
Location, yeah. Yeah. We were able to, when we were at Volcano Bay, I was also trying the virtual queues for the dry parks just to see how they were working. And I was able to make them from Volcano Bay.
But can you make them from the freeway on your way in?
No, you have to be.
I think you're just maybe like on Universal's server or whatever. So they like know you're.
They were in location because there was another part of, of Volcano Bay. We were toward the back of the park and it's actually really close to the outside of the park and it wouldn't let us make one. So we were outside of the range.
So where were you standing when you were able to make
it? When I was able to make it the first time, we were at the Kohola Reef restaurant. And then the second time I wasn't able to make it, we were back in somewhere in River Village. There was a seating area.
These are secrets. Good secrets.
Was it awkward getting food at Volcano Bay in the way that it was awkward getting food at the dry parks?
It was about the same, yeah. So they ask you to mobile order first. Or actually, I think they were telling you to have a seat first before you mobile ordered. I ordered first and then walked up to the restaurant. And then we sat at a table and they came by and asked our name. And then so they knew where to bring the food. So it's very much they're learning these new procedures. And it was, you know, everybody's just trying to figure out what they're doing. But the team members are so very helpful. Again, everybody's there to answer your questions or help you. Or if you don't have mobile order, they will order for you. There's always a way. And this was the one we were able to use. Because with mobile order, you can't use your annual pass discount. But I went back up afterward and they were able to give me a refund for the nice discount.
Can you, I just don't know because I haven't mobile ordered there. Like, should you not mobile order at all if you have a dining plan and you want to use it? Or can you mobile order like without paying and then go up? How does that work?
Because your order doesn't go through until you pay, right?
Right. I think in that count, because that's when they'll have you go sit down at your table first, and then they'll come to your table and ask if you need to help with the mobile order, and that's how they would help you to figure that part out. I actually have dining plan cards, but I don't know where I put them. So I was like, oh, you know what? We have a free drink on there because I have one that has the freestyle mug left on there. I was like, oh, we could take that to Volcano Bay and have soda all day. I was like, I don't know where I put them. But here's a secret. Annual pass holders are getting free freestyle mug with every entree that they mobile order.
Ooh. How many did you get?
Well, we had just got one, so we shared it and we used it throughout the day. But when we go again, say if we go tomorrow, we can get another one.
Oh, nice.
Anytime you order an entree. And that, I believe, was good through July 5th. Down through July 5th. That is one way Universal really takes care of their annual pass holders.
Right.
They have better discounts. There's discounts everywhere. Table service, quick service, carts, I think. Because I know we used it at the Mardi Gras kiosks. They gave us a discount there.
Do you have a Universal hotel stay coming up at all this summer?
I do. So we are going to stay at Cabana Bay over Father's Day weekend.
Oh, how nice.
Looks like we're going to have you back to talk about that and how the hotel experience was. So I guess to round out, overall, do you think this is sustainable for Universal to keep going this way? And was it fun? Is it the same experience as it was before? Or is it still just kind of evolving? Or is it
fluid.
Yeah, or is it still like...
I guess my question to tag on to that would be, like, do you think they opened too early with too many rules? Should they held out longer and made it, you know, more like it was before?
That's definitely a better way to ask it, Joy. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tree of Life.
Overall, I felt completely safe being in the parks. People were keeping their distance. People were wearing their masks. You know, I couldn't believe how many people we saw cleaning everything. I think it's sustainable. The only thing I think is that people are going to get really tired of these masks really fast.
Right.
Especially once July and August really hit, and that's when it's going to get really, really hot down here. People are going to be having a problem with these masks. So we'll see how that goes.
I guess it'll be interesting to see, since the WHO, World Health Organization, said you don't need to wear a mask unless you're working with somebody who has COVID-19. The CDC still hasn't said that, but the WHO has said that. So it'll be interesting to see if people will go against, you know, the CDC or who, or, you know, how that'll happen, if the CDC will adopt it once, you know, because I think the theme parks have a lot of leeway to a point to say how procedures are going to happen. Like, hey, we need to make money. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, in the end, this country is all about money. So, you know, that's going to have to win eventually. You know, if Disney and Universal, like, hey, we're not going to have people come to our park. We're not going to make money. That's tax dollars. That's, you know, all this stuff. You know, people might start changing their mind about requiring masks, and especially if the WHO is saying, hey, you don't need to wear it, you know.
I think that could be very true, because it was never required here. We never had mask requirements in the counties that are around Disney. Right. It's only in the theme parks that are being required. There's certain stores, establishments that are requiring masks, but you don't have to go in if you don't want to wear one. So, pretty much just felt really safe being at the parks. But I will say Volcano Bay felt more normal than being at Islands or Studios. Just because it was just that freedom of not having to wear the mask. And it just felt like a normal day.
You mentioned that at the end of the day, like at 4 o'clock, you guys were just ready to go. Was it because you had been able to basically cross everything off your list that you wanted to do in the first place? Or was it just a lot of peopling for one day? Or, you know, were you just done? You know, was it more because you were able to accomplish more and not have to stay longer, or because you just were done with people in general?
For Volcano Bay, it was because we were tired of being in the sun and we had done pretty much what we wanted to do. For Universal, it was because we're local and we don't have to stay open to close. We can stay an hour if we want, 2 hours if we want, and go home and not feel like we've wasted our day. I think we did enough for the day. We did 3 attractions, 8 breakfast and lunch in the park. And we just walked around and observed what was going on.
Right now they're closing at 6. Do you think that will change as they kind of get into the groove? I mean, I know you don't work for them, so you have no idea, but just maybe this is to everybody.
I think, it'll, once they kind of get ready a little bit more, I think it'll stay open later. That also could be because of the curfew we've been under from all the other stuff going on in the world. We don't need to get into that. But I know Orlando has been under curfew, so that could be part of why they're not open that late. I know Volcano Bay was only open till 5 the day that we went.
Gives people a chance to get home.
Yeah.
Gives staff a chance to get home.
And
Because I know... up here in Connecticut, at least, like, even our Walmart is closed at 8 o'clock or 8:30. You know, everything closes by 8 or 8:30.
And CityWalk, which has only been open, that's still only been open from 4 to 10. They've been closing by 7.
Oh, okay.
So, I think right now it's just part of that.
Sure.
Gold star in lieu of third award. Thank you for coming back.
And I will say,
anytime.
So people are listening, Roxanne's going to go to the water park when it's more full, and she's going to check out Wizarding World of Harry Potter. I don't even know what the right name is. That's what it's called. Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Hogsmeade.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So you're going to check that out to let us know how that is with the bottlenecks, because Jules brought up that it's more of a bottleneck area, right?
There's a lot more. Bottlenecks in that part.
Somebody brought it up, maybe not Jules. So that's my memory going here. But so we'll have that. And so we'll need to stay tuned so we can listen to how that works.
And I'll get to visit the resorts as well.
Ooh, right.
Ooh, yeah, fantastic. Can't wait to hear about those.
Leave us a comment and let us know how you feel on a scale of 1 to 10 about going back to theme parks.
After hearing on this, I feel like Universal really has their ducks in a row, and I truly would be comfortable taking my family this summer. In fact, we're thinking about booking a trip. But what we would really like to know is how you feel. Email us at info@earsforyoupodcast.com. Again, that is info@earsforyoupodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook @earsforyoupodcast. From all of us here, we'll see you real soon.